The distressed sloop, its mainmast shattered by lightning, its sails ripped by the winds of the open sea, drifted into the small, quiet beach of a private island in the Lesser Antilles. During the past 3 days, before the dead calm descended, this section of the Caribbean had suffered not only a hurricane with the force of the infamous Hugo, but 16 hours later a tropical storm whose bolts of lightning and earth-shaking thunder had set fire to 1,000 palms and caused 100,000 residents of the island chain to look to their gods for deliverance. The great house on this island, however, had survived both catastrophes. It was made of iron-bolted stone and steel and built into the huge rising hill on the north side. Impenetrable, indestructible, a fortress. That the nearly destroyed sloop had managed to survive and find its way into the sweeping rock-hewn cove and the small beach was a miracle. But it was an ominous miracle, not of her god's making, that caused the tall black maid in a white uniform to rush down the stone steps to the water's edge and fire 4 shots into the air from the gun in her hand.
"Ganja!" she yelled. "No lousy ganja here! You go away!"
The lone figure kneeling on the deck of the boat was a woman in her mid-30s. Her features were sharp, her long hair stringy and unkempt, her shorts and halter abused by the previous weather, and her eyes were enigmatically cold as she rested her powerful rifle on the gunwale and peered through the telescopic sight. She squeezed the trigger. The loud report shattered the stillness of the island cove, echoing off the rocks and the hill beyond. Instantly, the uniformed maid fell face down into the gently lapping waves.
"They're shooting! Gunshots!"
A shirtless, strapping young man, well over 6 feet in height and roughly 17 years of age, burst out of the cabin below. He was well-muscled and handsome, with cleanly chiseled, even classic, Roman features.
"What's happening? What have you done?"
"No more than had to be done," said the woman calmly. "Please get to the bow and jump over when you see the sand. It's still light enough. Then pull us into shore." He did not move to obey, but stared at the slain, white-uniformed figure on the beach, rubbing his hands nervously over his cut-off jeans.
"My God, she's just a servant!" he cried,
his English accented with his native Italian.
"You are a monster!"
"It is ever so, my child. Am I not in bed? And was I not when I killed those 3 men who bound your hands, whipped a rope around your neck, and were about to throw you off the pier, hanging you for murdering the Doc Supremo?"
"I didn't kill him. I've told you that over and over again."
"They thought you did, and that was enough."
"I wanted to go to the police. You wouldn't let me."
"Foolish child. Do you think you would ever have reached a courtroom? Never. You would have been shot in the streets, a piece of garbage blown away, for that Supremo benefited the dock workers with his thefts and corruption."
"I had angry words with him, nothing more. I went away and drank wine."
"Oh, you certainly did a great deal of wine by yourself. When they found you in the alley, you were incoherent until you realized that a rope was around your neck, your feet at the edge of the pier. And for how many weeks did I hide you, racing from one place to another while the scum of the waterfronts were hunting you, sworn to kill you on sight? I never understood why you were so good to me."
"I had my reasons.
I still have them."
"As God is my witness, Cabi," the young man said, still staring at the white-uniformed corpse on the beach, "I owe you my life, but I never expected anything like this."
"Would you rather return to Italy, to Portici and your family, and face certain death?"
"No, no, of course not, Signora Cabrini."
"Then welcome to our world, my darling toy," said the woman, smiling. "And believe me, you will want whatever I care to give you. You are so perfect. I cannot tell you how perfect you are. Over the side, my adorable Nico. Now." The young man did as he was told.